You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it is great to hear your voice today. What's happening with the Hoovers?
Well, I can't think of a lot today. How has your day been?
It's been full, man. I had a great 7:45 a.m. breakfast with a dear friend and brother here in Irvine, California today. And then just kind of been full ever since. But this is the last thing on my schedule for the day, so I get to just work on stuff after this is over. So that'll be good as well.
Awesome. Okay, well, I had a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little early. It's not quite summer, especially in California, like school-wise. But I was thinking this week about, do you remember that time when I was in college or maybe high school and you encouraged me to like read some classics, kind of like expand my reading?
Yes, I certainly do.
Okay, so I was thinking about like reading outside my like typical genres this summer. And I was going to ask you, like, if I was going to pick up like a British fiction, like I know you have read a lot of Agatha Christie or yes. Poirot or, you know,
yeah.
What would you like? What's a good starting book or series?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, Agatha Christie is kind of the, I guess, penultimate British mystery writer. I just read recently that she, I think outside of the Bible, that her books have been published more than any other authors in the English
language.
Really? Like, huh. Yeah, even to today. Like, she's still just widely published. You know, a little more contemporary writer than Agatha Christie is a woman who her pen name was P.D. James. That's two initials, P.D. James.
Okay.
And I just am restarting to read through her. I think she had 12 or 16 books that the detective was, I think, Adam Dogleash or something. It sounds like dog leash, but he is a very sophisticated inspector in the police department, I guess, in London.
And
one of the interesting things of P.D. James, it's somewhat like Agatha Christie, is she operates out of an Anglican view of life. Not sure how personally religious she was, but just like Agatha Christie, kind of an Anglican view of life and faith and all that. Certainly comes through. And so wouldn't in any way necessarily say that P.D. James is a Christian author.
Yeah.
But she does reflect somewhat of a Christian worldview in her writing. So I think I would start with those two, P.D. James and Agatha Christie.
Awesome. Okay.
And the way I do that is I just do, say, P.D. James books in order and Google that. And then I start with her first one. That's how I do it.
Okay. So,
more than our listeners ever want to know about John's view on British mystery writers.
No, I feel like summer is a great time for a good book recommendation. So thanks.
Yes. And those, yeah, I love everything that either of them have written. So
awesome.
That'd be good. You bet.
Well, Dad, we're in a four-part series of podcasts on Leadership Edge's perspectives on Christian mentoring. And the first three episodes in this series were on the core of Christian mentoring, the profile of a Christian mentor, and the shape of Christian mentoring. So today, we're going to be sharing some practical ways to understand and address the mentee's developmental needs. And I think we're going to be talking, you know, about evaluating the effectiveness of the mentoring relationship, how to bring a mentoring relationship to an end. Mm-hmm. So I think you were going to start us off with a conversation that you recently had with an LEI mentee, right?
Yeah. And you know, I think when we talk about the effectiveness of Christian mentoring, You know, that suggests that it's a developmental relationship. It suggests that this is both really the mentor and the mentee becoming more than they were when they began. And so when we talk about, so what does that look like, or what is the value that mentees find from this? I was recently in conversation with a young man who I am mentoring, who is a Christian and a very kind of early but serious Christian dating relationship with a young woman. And just kind of in passing in a conversation recently, he said, you know, it's interesting, John, I just had a conversation with a great friend of mine who is in a similar dating relationship. They've been dating about the same time as this guy and his girlfriend have.
Okay.
And yet this friend said to the young man that I'm mentoring, he said, boy, I wish that we had made some of the same decisions that you guys have made in your dating relationship, because we didn't, and I feel that it's really kind of undermined and sent our dating relationship in some not so good directions. And as he was sharing that, I asked him, I said, so what made your what made your perspective on this different than that from your friend?
Yeah.
And he reminded me of a conversation we had. And I had kind of forgotten about the conversation, but as he mentioned it, I remembered it. And, you know, it was just a reminder again of sometimes the mentor doesn't even see the value, the developmental value that's happening in the life of the mentee, but the mentee sees it. And that's somewhat what we're going to be talking about today, is how can the mentor be more aware of thinking through the developmental or growth needs of the mentee, and be more poised to help address some of those. So that's where we'll be heading today.
So let me ask you a question about that. So are you saying, like, you had not even really intentionally communicated what you communicated, or...
Well, no, I definitely had.
Yeah.
You know, he was basically, had asked me a question about, you know, Christian couples are constantly making decisions, and, you know, obviously some about remaining, you know, sexually pure in the dating relationship before marriage, but some also just around what are appropriate things for us to talk about now, and what would be things that would be more appropriate for us to talk about later, like maybe right before engagement, and kind of sequencing the getting to know each other and the revealing oneself to the other. Because, you know, if you end up just kind of putting forward wholly who you are and you don't get married, then you just have all this awareness of people that you're not married to. And so
we
had a discussion around, you know, kind of sequencing things like that and discretion related to that. And I think his friend, they had just jumped in and told every juicy, intimate, broken psychological detail about each of themselves to the other. And that had actually, one would think, well, gosh, that's so good, because then we'll just have full knowledge of who we are. Well, what this couple found out, and I think I've seen this a lot of times, that kind of, again, not just physical intimacy, but just all over kind of intimacy can lead couples in bad directions in the early days of a dating relationship. So, yeah, I remember the conversation.
Yeah.
I had no idea, you know, is this something that's going to prove to be helpful to him or not?
And I see.
And boy, did it prove to be helpful to him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about this. So, like, I know that Leadership Edge uses, like you've referenced, some developmental paradigms that help mentors determine the mentee's growth areas. So, like, you've kind of talked a little bit about the importance of this, but why is it important, and what are the paradigms?
Well, this reminds me. I can still remember exactly where we're sitting. I'm in a mentoring relationship with an MBA student at Duke University some years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was one of those where we just didn't connect real well. And so, I don't know, somewhere maybe fifth or sixth time we're together, I said, so say his name was Jack, which it wasn't, okay. But say, I said to Jack, I said, so Jack, do you have a sense that through our time together that you're growing and learning? And he said, I have no sense of that whatsoever. And I honestly am not real sure why we're meeting.
All right.
And I'm like, well, not exactly what I wanted to hear. But I really appreciated, you know, his honesty.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we talked that through, it wasn't so much in that situation that I didn't have a vision and some tools around his development. It was more just kind of a personality and a background kind of thing. I think he just didn't connect well with me. I didn't with him. Our perspectives and backgrounds and even kind of personality were just so different. And so in that situation, the way I could help him to develop was I connected him with Todd Melby, who now is the president of Leadership Edge. And I said, you know, I think Todd would be a much better fit for you than I am.
Yeah.
And he and Todd started meeting, and it was just like, man, this is a mentorship made in heaven kind of thing. It was
that's
just
cool.
Perfect fit.
Yeah.
But I think as a mentor, you hope they're learning and growing, and you hope that this is a developmental relationship. You're praying towards that, but what kind of frameworks, what kind of grids, what kind of paradigms can you use to help make sure that that's happening? Because, you know, it's interesting. I just qualified a new Leadership Edge mentor about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was talking about what he had learned about Leadership Edge mentoring, he said, you know, the thing I love about Leadership Edge mentoring is it's just enough structure. And I said, like, what do you mean? And he said, well, it's enough structure to where you're not just sitting there staring at each other or like wondering, why are we here? What are we accomplishing? Is
yeah.
anything happening? But it's flexible enough to where, you know, it can breathe and the Holy Spirit can guide and the mentor can use the gifts that God's given them.
Yeah.
And so with these developmental paradigms that I'm going to share about today, these are just helpful tools, and we really think about them as almost like lenses, like a pair of glasses. Like, let's look at the mentor through this pair of, or mentee through this pair of glasses. Then let's look at them through this pair of glasses and just see what shows up. So the ones we'll talk about today is one that we've talked about throughout this series. It's the life vision statement. And our listeners remember that Leadership Edge life vision statement is this: by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. And so that's a helpful lens as the mentee is talking about their life, their job, their schooling, their marriage, their family, their community, wherever it is. You know, just looking at what they're talking about through that lens of, are they, by God's grace, stepping forward as God's man in this situation? And is their orientation there to serve God's purposes? And are they clear about what God's purposes are for God's glory? So that's the core kind of thought or framework for Leadership Edge mentoring. And we use that as a guide to help think through the growth areas. Sometimes I'll be working with a guy and he's in a job and he's honestly completely lost as to why God has him there other than to make money. And mm-hmm. so as we use the life vision statement as a lens to look at his job through and begin to think through, well, what are God's purposes for any Christian to have a job? And begin to unpack that. It gives some guidance in terms of God's purposes and what maybe God wants this person to do this week in that context. So the first tool, the first set of glasses we'll talk about is the life vision statement. The second one is what we call the lifestyle leadership model. And we've done some podcasts on the lifestyle leadership model, but it basically says that if you think about leadership not as a positional kind of thing, like what position you have in the organization, but you think of it more as a process of influence with people, then what are the things you need to show so that people can trust you, that you can be a trustworthy leader and have influence? And in that model, we talk about character, which gives you the weight of moral authority. We talk about competence, which gives you the weight of developed ability. And we talk about commitment, which gives you the weight of focused attention. And we say that to lead in a Christian way, our character, our competence, our commitment need to be aligned with or drawn from God's word and God's character. And so again, if I'm mentoring a guy and he's talking about some leadership challenge he's having, then we'll pull out the lifestyle leadership model and look at it as a whole, but then think, you know, is what you're struggling right now, is it more of a character issue? Is it a competence issue? You just don't know what to do? Is it you're not really maintaining, fulfilling your commitments? Is it that it's not really aligned with God's word and God's character? Let's look at this together and see where you're being challenged in leadership. So the second one is the lifestyle leadership model. The next one is what we call KSCV. We love this one because it's so simple.
Okay.
KSCV stands for knowledge, skills, character, and vision. And pretty much any developmental need in any sphere of life ever is guided by one or all four of these aspects: knowledge, skills, character, vision. So if I just got a text a little while ago today from a guy who's just changed from one job to another, kind of one company to another. And as he's beginning to learn, okay, how do I be effective, be a good leader, live out my faith in this new job? I can help him by saying, well, okay, what are some of the things you're going to need to learn, some of the things you're going to need to know that are different from where you used to work? Are there any skills that you're going to need to develop so that you can be more effective in this context? Are there ways that maybe your character is going to be stretched or is being stretched? Or is it kind of a vision thing? Is it just, you know, you had a clear vision for yourself at your old job, but now you're a little bit lost of what is my vision here? So again, KSCV is a real easy pair of glasses to put on and look at, especially a new leadership context in, new relationship in, and begin to get some real guidance from. And then the last one is what we call the Christian growth continuum. This was developed by Pastor Harold Bullock, who's the founding pastor of Hope Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He says that as Christians, we tend to go through a developmental sequence that's not exactly linear, but somewhat, where we begin as a Christian and we're learning kind of basic follow-up or basic discipleship kinds of things, like how to read the Bible, how to have a quiet time, how to confess my sin, how to pray, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then we move into extended lordship, where we begin to realize, oh my gosh, God wants to be Lord of my money. He wants to be Lord of my future. He wants to be Lord of my time, of my sexuality. He wants to be Lord of everything, to where we're running into different lordship areas that we have to learn to give over to God. So again, basic follow-up kind of things, then lordship kind of things, then basic ministry skills, like how to lead a Bible study, how to share the gospel, how to share my testimony, those kind of basic ministry to other kind of skills. And then we get into like philosophical and theological questions, like what about those who've never heard of Christ? What about the conflicts that there appear to be between science and religion? Those kinds of questions. And then the last one is strategic kinds of questions, like granted who God is and what he's up to, granted who I am, how he's put me together, What's the most effective strategic use of my life? And so as we're working with growing Christian leaders, we use that as a grid, especially to make sure that those bottom three areas, the basic follow-up, the extended lordship, the basic ministry skills, that those are in place and that they're growing in them. Because if they are, then as they run into the philosophical and theological questions, as they run into the strategic questions, they'll have clear perspective with which to think them through. So again, these are four grids, four paradigms. We're not saying they're the only ones that mentors should use. They're ones that now for almost 30 years have been helpful in Leadership Edge mentoring, the life vision statement, lifestyle leadership model, the KSCV, and the Christian growth continuum.
Yeah, well, and as you were talking, I was thinking like, well, I guess a couple of things. One, just that what you were saying about the conversation you had earlier today and kind of hearing that man highlight the value of the flexibility, but also some structure being built in, like that makes a lot of sense. Because I think one of the things that you've really emphasized as we've done these four podcast episodes is the importance of having enough flexibility that it can really be tailored to who God is wanting the mentee to become, and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So it's like flexible that it can be applied however, or, you know, at whatever time the Holy Spirit's prompting or that the mentee is posing a question, but that it really, it seems like these tools would really build both some shared vocabulary and just kind of, I guess, keep things really intentional so that it isn't just, oh, yeah, we're just hanging out and talking, but like there's some specific questions and like things we're evaluating. That makes a lot of sense. So I guess the next thing that I want to ask you related to that, like that's four different things to apply. How would this actually look in a mentoring relationship? How would you use one of these in a mentoring relationship?
Well, again, with the kind of guys that I mentor, I tend to mentor a lot of young men who are either moving into marriage, are newly married, or are married and they're in kind of their go-go years with kids and career and just general craziness. And so, you know, they come to me and they're like, they're just kind of confused, like I don't know what to do right now, you know. And one that, again, especially is helpful to me with guys trying to figure out their role and what they're to do in as they approach marriage, as they're in early marriage or in marriage with kids and kind of the crazy life, is the KSCV, where I'll say, okay, what are some things that you don't know that you feel that you need to know to lead well here? And they'll list out a few. I'll list out a few. You know, okay, what are some things you need to know how to do? Like, you, it's just like you don't know what to do. And like sometimes in early marriage, it will be, I don't know how to lead my wife and I through conversations when we're in conflict with each other.
Yeah.
And so that's a skill. You know, there's a skill there of how do I approach that? And by the way, I'm not saying that the mentor needs to be the professional on all of these. Like, say if the guy you're mentoring needs some skills in, you know, talking through conflict with his wife, then, you know, your resource for that is your own marriage, what you've learned, and the Bible, and then just any other resources you have. So it's not to suggest that as the mentor, anything that comes out from KSCV, you're going to be the expert on. It's more that you can share what God has taught you or is teaching you about, you know, as the Great Commission would say, how to obey and live out all of Christ's commands in all of life. And occasionally I've had guys come up with the developmental area, and I'm like, me too. Like, I really need to grow in that too. So why don't we do this together? And then sometimes it can be a character thing where the marriage challenge is the guy just needs to quit being passive, quit laying back, and really engage. And a lot of times that's an aspect of character. And then a vision. You know, sometimes new fathers, they just kind of fall into assuming that the discipline's up to the mother. And that, you know, they'll kind of back up the mother as she's disciplining the kids. And in that situation, there needs to be a vision change of, no, my vision is to lead my family. And that even involves me being the lead in terms of discipline, you know, though my wife and I need to be together on it. It needs to be mutual.
Yeah.
So that tool, the KSCV, is really helpful as I'm helping, you know, newly married guys or married guys who are in the crazy years of life figure out how they need to grow, who they need to be now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Laura? Any follow-ups on that?
Yeah, that totally does. One question I have for you, and I guess, like, Dad, I feel like you have I know you wouldn't say this, but you have a lot of wisdom. Like, what about for a mentor who is maybe, you know, like one step ahead, or even a situation where, let's say, the mentee is like, you know, my kid has these major special needs and I'm trying to figure that, like something that you just don't really have much experience with at all. And so definitely scripture still applies, but like in situations, like what would you do next in a situation where you don't personally have a lot of wisdom or insight to offer?
Well, one thing that I've learned is I would pray. And I would pray with the young man and just, you know, remind the Lord, you know, God, you said that if any of us lack wisdom, that we can come to you and find it freely from you.
Yeah.
And so, God, we lack wisdom. You know, my friend Jack here claims he knows nothing about this. I know pretty close to nothing about this. But God, please remind us as to anything you've taught us, anything from your word that would be relevant to this, and any resources or other people that we could reach out to learn more about this.
That's really good.
And then follow that. Like, again, in the qualification meeting I had an hour or so ago with this young man, he asked me a specific question about what would you do in this kind of situation. And he was asking me about a real context, real person. And
yeah.
And so, as soon as he asked, I said, well, let's just pray for a minute. And
yeah.
So I prayed and asked God to guide us. And then we had a good, helpful discussion on it. And I think whether you're wise or sort of wise or whatever, you still need to pray.
Yeah.
Because I think as an older Christian man, one of the foolishnesses that I can buy into is, well, I'm a wise old man. I don't really have to depend upon God. I can just spout out all my wisdom. And sometimes the mentee will play right along with you and be telling you how wise you are, and you're just, you know, and you just can't fall for it. You have to keep going to God and asking him to remind you of what he's taught you and give you the wisdom that's needed. Does that relate to that question, Laura?
Yeah, no, totally. I think that very much does. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we kind of talked a little bit about the paradigms that are tools to identify and address the growth needs and address the growth areas in the mentee.
Yeah.
So then what questions guide you as you're evaluating the mentee's growth?
Well, here's a few that we've come up with. The big question in terms of evaluating growth, in terms of evaluating effectiveness, the big question for us is God-honoring change occurring? And when we say God-honoring change, we're especially thinking about that kind of change that would fit with what the Bible says should be going on, that, you know, that God wants, that kind of change that is fueled by a dependence upon God, you know, that kind of change that's brought about to accomplish, you know, to bring glory and honor to God, not to the person, and that kind of change that's about God's purposes, what he wants done in the world. So the big question is God-honoring change happening? You know, some of the things that we look at underneath that is the mentee still making our relationship a priority? And is there still a place for me to serve in their life?
Hmm.
So, you know, they're making it a priority by showing up on time, not missing meetings, being prepared for the discussion, those kind of things. And do I see a way that I can still be of service? And sometimes when I can't quite see that, I'll ask them. I'll say, you know, I'm a little stuck as to how from here forward I can be of service to you. What do you think of when you think of that? Like, do you see ways I can be of service to you? So that's one question. Another one is, am I growing to understand the mentee? Like, do I feel like I better understand him than I did when we began? Another one is effective two-way communication occurring between us that facilitates understanding and growth, where I'm getting to know him and understand him, he's getting to know me and understand me. Another one is, are the mentee's developmental needs being met? And by that, we don't mean every developmental need, but are there growth areas or developmental needs that we can see are being addressed through our time together that
mm-hmm.
God's working on? Another one is, what is the mentee putting into action? And that's a critical one. And sometimes if I can't see that, I'll ask the mentee. I'll say, you know, from the discussions we've been having, say on the life vision statement or on this or that part of your life, what are you putting into action? Like, what are you doing differently? How are you thinking differently than you were when we began? And, you know, you'll be cheered, you know, usually by what they say. And if they have nothing to say, then you need to know that, you know. And then the last one is the mentee learning to live out the life vision statement? Because, again, for Leadership Edge Mentoring, that's our core thought, our core framework.
Awesome. And so, and Dad, how often do you tend to assess that?
Well, I want to say, and I think this is close to accurate, that I'm always in kind of awareness mode.
Okay.
You know, every time I'm with the mentee, and even in those times when I'm just thinking about the mentee or praying over the mentee, I'm thinking, what do I see happening? And I'm asking God to help me to see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then if over time I just can't quite, I'm not, either I don't see what's happening or I'm not sure that I'm seeing it clearly, then I'll ask him. And a lot of times I'll say, this isn't a say something nice about John question.
Yeah.
This is a help me to see what God's doing in your life kind of question. So I try to be aware of that, but I don't want in any way to do it to where it sets kind of a performance context of, okay, I better have grown and changed this week because
yeah.
if not, John's going to nail me on it.
Right.
We don't want that at all.
Cut me loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so how do you go about getting answers to these questions?
Well, I just do direct questions, you know, just
yeah.
tell me more about this. But again, try to do it in a way to where it's not like nailing them to the wall. They're not, you know, they're safe to say, you know, whatever. And that to assure them that I'm not fishing for compliments or
yeah.
affirmation about myself. Then I also listen to what others say about them. And this, I'm not saying like, you know, I'm gossiping or that I'm kind of a CIA surveillance kind of person. But as I'm around others who know them and we're talking about the person, I just listen for how they see him. What do they think of him? Because that gives me good input. And then as I get clarity on those things, I'll share what I feel that I'm learning about what God's doing in their life with the mentee, and just say, does that fit with how you're seeing it? Am I getting this clear?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, so Dad, as we wrap up this episode, what thoughts can you share on how to wrap up a mentoring relationship? What are some of your best practices?
Yeah. Well, all good things must come to an end, including mentoring relationships. And so you want there to be real freedom and even joy for the mentoring relationship to come to an end. And you certainly don't want to just, you know, kind of ride the horse till it dies, and then both of you are just looking at this dead carcass in front of you. So, you know, about every 3 or 4 months, I will say to the mentee, I'll say, you know, I think it's an appropriate time we finish going through like the life vision statement or the lifestyle leadership model. I think it'd be good for us to take a week or so, both of us pray about should we continue to meet or not. And I'll convey to the guy, you know, I'm super open to us continuing on if that is the case. But I'm also free that we may have come to a good end here. And then I'll always say, and by the way, Jack, my commitment is to be your friend for the rest of my life. So this isn't, are we still going to be friends? This is more, are we going to continue to meet on a regular basis in a mentoring relationship? And so then we both pray, and then we get back together and both share what we feel that God's guided us to do in it. And you know, occasionally there may be an awkward conversation where the guy is just like, yeah, we definitely got to keep going. And I'm more like, nah, I kind of think we've come to the end of the road.
Uh-huh.
And you have to have, you know, an honest discussion around that. You always want it to be in a way that there's clear, like when and if the mentoring relationship comes to an end, you want there to be clarity and agreement about why it's ending. And in the way that's appropriate, it end very positively, you know, very affirming of what God has done in the person's life.
Yeah, that's great, Dad. Well, and I know we're kind of running short on time, so I'll be brief. But I think one of my takeaways, I have a lot from this series, but one from today is just prayerfulness, like in the middle of a discussion as you need God's wisdom. Because I think, first of all, you've done this with me many times, and I have seen God totally answer that prayer. And I think sometimes I can feel awkward in that moment, or I don't even quite know what it is, but just, yeah, that was really... like, we need wisdom, you know? And so I think that's something that really stuck with me from what you said today. So thanks for sharing that. Can you wrap us up?
You bet. Well, listeners, we hope that this series and especially this episode have been of help to you in thinking through what it means to be a Christian mentor and the different aspects of it. Our approach with this is we hope to, for people, think through the complex parts of mentoring so that then we can offer to you a simple approach that has thought through the complexities that you can use as a Christian mentor. If you're ever interested in learning more about Leadership Edge Mentoring or how you can sign up for our mentor training program, just go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and click under the mentoring tab, and you'll see how you can sign up for mentor training and learn more about how we equip mentors. From my heart, I hope that every listener will see the opportunity and seize the opportunity to faithfully, prayerfully invest in the life of a young emerging leader around you. And please let us know at Leadership Edge if there's any ways that we can be of help to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.